And now, Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Good morning. We'll talk to Jason Cole with Fansided.com. We've had him on plenty of times to talk NFL. We'll do that again today at 8. We're also going to talk to Eric Name of The Athletic around 8:35 this morning as the Bucks have the Wizards. You can call them the Bullets if you like. They've got them tonight and then the Hawks on Sunday afternoon in Atlanta. So some more road games for Milwaukee. Your question today to win Jimmy Buffett tickets is, what do you want to see happen this weekend? Like if you want to see the Bucks to go 2-0, as Chuck said. James tweets in, I want to see the Saints lose so the Packers get a better draft pick. I'd like to see Mike Pettine officially announced as the defensive coordinator. You guys can tweet yours in at 105.7 FM The Fan with the hashtag CW tickets. Basically, what do you want to be a storyline come Monday's show? As far as Mike Pettine, it's one move that Matt LaFleur has to make. He's got to round out this coaching staff. There's a lot of names. You know, it's one thing to know who the young offensive coordinators are that could be the next head coach of your team. It's another to know who the even younger assistants are that could be the next coordinator of your team. So we're seeing some names come out, like Hackett, who was with the Jaguars. There's a Mike McDaniel who works at San Francisco. What is he right now? The run game coordinator. Kyle Shanahan loves him, but so does Matt LaFleur, so maybe they bring him over. So there's a lot of names that we'll find out and eventually see who gets this job. I think an interesting question that obviously comes up from this hire is, okay, well, it's a four-year deal. You know, there's that option for year five. That's what everybody's signing. Matt LaFleur's salary is going to be about $5 million, $5.5 million, according to reports. So the Packers are also still paying McCarthy, remember, about $9 million. So they're committing about $15 million to the head coach position this year.
How about that? Jeez.
But if the Packers want to get out, they could fire him. And you know, you still pay him, but you could fire him and move on. So I don't think the question is, what does Matt LaFleur have to do to get a year two? I think unless they go like 5-11 and they look terrible in every game, he'll get a year two. What does he have to do to get a year three? What does he have to do to make sure he's still the coach in 2021?
Well, McCarthy's second year, he got into the NFC Championship game. But I don't think he didn't have to do that to get a third year, because his first year he went 8-8, coming off 4-12 with Mike Sherman. So I think if you look back, you know, you'd have to improve. You'd have to go 7-9, I would think, to not make the next year a hot seat year. So I think this upcoming year, he does not have to get in the playoffs. Although Murphy really put the pressure on him by saying, well, now it's time for you to get us back into the playoffs after a two-year drought. So I think he can go, Bart, I think he goes 7-9. And then I don't even think that second year he's got to make the playoffs. But that third year, depending how the roster, this is on Gutekunst too, to give him some players. But I think by that third year, you got to get to the playoffs.
So you think he can miss the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers for 2 years and not lose his job?
Depending how the rest of the roster looks. See, I think we don't really fully know what that roster is going to look like going into next year. I think there's going to be a lot of changes, because some of these guys are not going to be on the team next year, like Cobb and maybe even Nick Perry, Matthews, and how this draft performs. You know, I think, though, if it's a talented roster and it's looking up, then okay, he's got to make the playoffs his third year.
You guys can chime in 414-799-1250, also on Twitter at 105.7FM The Fan, Facebook as well.
But let's say he comes in and there's total dysfunction. I mean, you can miss the playoffs in 2 years, but if the program is looking on its way up and you look like you're a sharp guy out there, that's one thing. But like in Arizona, where they struggled through like a 3-13 season, and it looks like you have no clue, and your quarterback's not getting any better, then I think it's based on feel, Bart, on really how, you know, 7-9 and you are just like this past year where there's total dysfunction, or 7-9 and things are looking up?
Well, what year did Holmgren take over? 92?
92.
And so they went 9-7 that year.
Yeah.
And then in his second year, they went 9-7 again, and they beat the Lions at whatever the hell it used to be called.
Silverdome.
And then that was when they kept losing to the Cowboys year in and year out. But they went 9-7 in their second year. Sherman took over when? The Ray Rhodes year was 99. So Sherman took over in 2000, went 9-7 his first year, missed the playoffs. Then went 12-4 in his second year. McCarthy took over. What year did McCarthy take over? 2006.
Six, went 8-8.
Went 8-8. And then in his second year, as you mentioned, they went 13-3.
But you know, McCarthy, he was 4-8 at one point. He won his final four games of the season, as I recall, including a win at San Francisco. He was headed for the playoffs. So he you know, things were looking up toward the end of that year. And then, yeah, 2007. But no one expected in 2007 to have the type of season he did.
So if Mike Holmgren in his second year went to the divisional round of the playoffs before they lost, if, and we're counting Ray Rhodes out of this, obviously, if Mike Sherman in his second year went to the divisional round of the playoffs, but that was the year 5-6 picks, mm-hmm, in St. Louis, and then if Mike McCarthy in his second year went to the conference championship game, I don't think you can have 2 years of Matt LaFleur missing the playoffs to get him to a year three.
But I think, though, LaFleur is probably inheriting the least talented roster of those four guys.
Yeah, but
when Holmgren second year,
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but the second year of Holmgren, they went out and got Reggie White. Man, they got the best defensive player in the game, and he was huge in the pass rush. And yeah, I think that was the big boost to them in 93, getting Reggie on the defensive side. And this is probably the least talented, again, because they have some rebuilding to do. And they were still building in 92 and 93. And yeah, Holmgren did a hell of a job in his first year. But we'll see. I think Holmgren went over. He got them there quicker than we thought.
414-799-1250. What does Matt LaFleur have to do, really, to get to his third year of this contract? I think he's got to make the playoffs. I'm not going to say this year, but if he doesn't make the playoffs in year two,
mm-hmm,
I mean, that's going to be four straight years.
Yeah.
With Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback of not making the playoffs, that is not going to fly.
I'm going to say going into that third year, he's going to be on the hot seat.
799-1250. Let's get to Tim and Tosa.
I think he'd survive 2 years without making the playoffs,
though.
If it's depending on the feel. I mean, if it's like this, if there's dysfunction, no, he won't.
Tim, what's up?
Morning, boys.
Hey, Tim.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, I really think it comes down to one thing and one thing only that'll dictate how long he's job, and that really is how well Aaron Rodgers likes him. That's really what it's going to come down, because if Aaron will do what Aaron does, he will be successful on the field. I think in this year, I think that Goody's going to do some good things with free agents and with drafting. So I think those pieces will fall in the line. And really, it really then will come down to how well does Rodgers respond to LaFleur. And if he likes him, then I think he gets a longer leash. If Rodgers and him butt heads, you know, after the first 8 months of the season or 6 months of the season and things just aren't looking good, then I think that rope gets really tight.
That's so you're automatically saying that Goody's going to have two good drafts.
You know what? I feel like this draft, given the first-round picks and what's available for them in front, and then the fact that he's willing to do things that Ted Thompson was not, can only give me, you know, encouraging thoughts. You know, is he going to move the world? No, absolutely not, but the fact that the door is open for him to make free agent moves and acquisitions and bundle stuff to do things and first-round picks, which we really haven't had a great first-round pick, at least two of them in a row for a very long time, that's encouraging. And I think the regular Packer fan is going to be in the same boat, that it looks the sun is shining on the draft, I think, until proven otherwise. So
yeah. Well, I mean, he hit on Alexander this year, although Jimmy Graham, through free agency, we all liked the deal, but that turned out to be a bad deal. That was the, you know, they've missed out on tight ends the last 2 years, Barton. So, Yeah, I mean, Goody has two good drafts, and you know, he gets guys who produce for them right away and through free agency. Then the game changes. Then, yeah, maybe then after that second year, if he doesn't make the playoffs and he's got a talented roster and he's not making the postseason, he's not going to survive.
414-799-1250, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. What does Matt LaFleur need to do to get to a year three? He's got to be in the playoffs in year two.
But we'd all agree, this is not a playoff roster right now. This is not a talented roster. There's some talented guys.
This team, well, I don't agree, and I will tell you why, coming up after the break right here on Chuck and Winkler.
All right, the Q Club of Wisconsin is your place to watch all your favorite sports action. Get in there this weekend to watch the football games, the basketball games going on as well. They got the indoor sports going on, the huge entertainment room, the pool tables, the tornado foosball, the shuffleboard, the electronic darts, the ping pong, all that in their indoor sports room, the huge entertainment room. And their response for the Q Club's indoor bocce ball league has been second to none. It's been absolutely amazing. But a sports bar, too. That's all extra. I mean, you got the indoor sports, the huge entertainment room. I mean, how many sports bars got that? That's like the bonus. But I like, you know, a sports bar that's got the sports on all the TVs, the volume turned up on the game, and, of course, great food. And the Q Club checks the box on all that. Q Club's got great food, the awesome burgers, the wings, the appetizers, the award-winning fish fry going on tonight as well as Wednesday nights. Your choice of four different styles piled high with all the extras. And of course, if you like live entertainment, and who doesn't like to go out and see a good band? Well, they got live entertainment on weekends. Check out their Facebook page at the Q Club of Wisconsin. They'll list all the bands that they got coming up here for the next several weeks. If you still have not planned that company party, well, they got private rooms available with your own VIP suite, the luxury pool table in. It's all happening at the Q Club of Wisconsin, man. So much going on. The food, the sports, the entertainment room they got there. Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's Great North Side, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard, just a half mile south of I-94 at Waukesha. Visit them this weekend. I'm telling you, the fish fries are awesome. They got the basketball game going on tonight. You can watch that. The Q Club of Wisconsin, north side of Waukesha. Visit them online, qclubofwi.com, or on Facebook.
All right, Matt. So, it's been two long years here in Green Bay. We are ready to get back winning. And it is my pleasure to introduce Matt LaFleur as the 15th head coach of the Green Bay Packers in our 100th season. Matt?
No pressure, bud.
How about that? You know, people are talking about Murphy's swearing, dropping, you know, saying BS. But I think that statement right there was the biggest statement that he said all night. Putting the pressure up, I mean, publicly putting the heat on him right there, right then and there. The clock is ticking.
I think the most interesting thing coming out of that press conference Wednesday was when Murphy's like basically said all the other candidates not named Matt LaFleur sucked. You could tell they just got fired. They were distracted. They were looking for other jobs.
And then when I think it was Rob Demoski asked him, what were you going to do? Well, we're going to bring those guys in for second interviews.
Yeah. We were screwed, basically. Yeah. We were screwed. But they got their guy in Matt LaFleur. Last year he spent, as we know now, the job as the offensive coordinator with the Titans. Before that in L.A., before that Atlanta, Washington, a year at Notre Dame, and now he is the 15th head coach, officially the Green Bay Packers. It's a four-year deal with that option for year five. That's what every new coach has signed this offseason. But as we know, that can change. I don't know if anyone expects Cliff Kingsbury to ride out the full year of his term. Bruce Arians, maybe he won't either. We're going to find out. But for Matt LaFleur to do that, for him to just get to year three, is what we're asking at 414-799-1250, because they have had two, and it's felt like long years. And in Green Bay, it's pretty empty in January, which is not a familiar sight to them. They're a small market team. They depend on those eight games. They depend on those two preseason games, and they've gotten to, you know, be able to plan in their budget for one more, at least, postseason game in January, and they haven't been able to do that. And then you've had the last couple weeks of the season where people didn't get all that excited to go to Lambeau Field and watch this team, and there were less people in attendance, which means less money in concessions and parking, etc. So for the Packers, this is a team that they need to be winning to be viable. So how long do you give Matt LaFleur? I say if he does not get to the playoffs by the end of year two, he ain't going to see a year three.
We should bookmark this and come back to it in a couple of years to see we always say we're going to do that, but this is what we really ought to do to see what is right. Because, I mean, I'm not saying your answer is wrong, and I'm not saying my answer is right. I mean, it could be after 2 years. It's just, what's the feel of the team? Is he coming in here and him and Rodgers aren't on the same page and there's just dysfunction? Yeah, then it's definitely 2 years. But if things are looking up at least, and the roster is improving, and you know it looks like there's a potential, then I think he would stretch to a third year. And then for sure after that third year, if he didn't make the postseason, he would be donezo. But I definitely could see it after two, but I'd have to get a good feel on where the team is headed. If it's like this past season, no, he's definitely not making it after two.
Yeah, if it was like 2-9-7 seasons where they missed the playoffs, like how the Titans did in week 17, that's different than going 6-10 in both years. And why I think they could possibly even get to the playoffs this next season is, as for as hard as I've been on Rodgers, you know, you've got to, with a new coach, maybe revitalized, you've got to have confidence that he can get back to, or you at least have to understand that he can get back to where he was.
Sure.
I look at some of these other playoff teams. You know, I'm not high on the Vikings. I think Kirk Cousins is not good. That was a team that maybe won't make the playoffs next year. Seattle's a bad team, I think, but they're good at winning. So they found themselves into the playoffs. You look at the NFC, you expect three of these teams, and I don't know which teams it will be, but usually there's a turnover of three or even four teams that don't make it. I think the Packers with a rejuvenated Rodgers could be that team. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm not ready to say they'll make the playoffs in 2019. I will say that if they don't make the playoffs by 2020, LaFleur's going to be gone.
Well, I'll say if they do go 6-10 the next 2 years, there'd probably be like a 20% chance he would make it in that third year if they went 6-10. But, yeah, if they went, let's say if they went 7-9 and like in 2 years, 9-7 and maybe – in the playoff chase, but barely miss out. Yeah, I think he'd come back for a third year.
799-1250. Let's get to Mike in Franklin. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mike.
You nailed it, Bart. I think if he doesn't make the playoffs in the second year, he's gone. You got to remember that the fan base turned very quickly on McCarthy, and I think the fan base will turn very quickly, not on LaFleur, but on the management, the guys higher up. But in order for him to even make the playoffs, you got to protect the franchise. You got to get somebody opposite Bakhtiari that's going to protect Rodgers, because our offensive tackle position is thinner than a house made of straw.
Okay, what if he has a winning season that second year? You think he'd make it to the third year?
Yeah, and I think that's what it takes. That or the playoffs.
Okay, but I mean, winning season and playoffs—that's two different things.
Right, but I think they just don't want a negative stigma again of another losing season, because the fan base is sick of it. We forgot, you know, how quickly, you know, we went from losing to winning all the time between Favre and Rodgers. So the fans just don't want to see any more losing. I know it's only been two seasons, but the fan base is not ready for that.
All right, Bart, you said before the break there that you were going to tell me now the Packers have a talented roster. Do you think they're a good team?
I think that with Aaron Rodgers, you should give him the confidence. Are they a good team? No, they're not a good team. But Seattle's not a good team. They made the playoffs. Minnesota's not, I don't think, a good team. They made the playoffs.
No, they're not championship level.
I don't even think they're good. I don't think Seattle's good.
Yeah, but I mean, because you told me
Minnesota's good.
You thought the Packers had a good roster before the commercial break, and I was like, I don't think they do.
Oh, I explained that already. I explained that 2 minutes ago.
I just don't think they do, though.
No, but that's why I'm putting all that in with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So if Aaron Rodgers plays, Chuck, in 2016, this was the worst team in the league. Now, that might be some hyperbole, but what I'm saying is Rodgers somehow willed a roster where Ladarius Gunter was your number one cornerback into the NFC Championship game.
You thought 2016, they were the worst team in the league?
No, I said that's some hyperbole, they were a bad team. That was a bad team. And that shows how good Aaron Rodgers was.
When they won the six games to finish out the season.
That's because of Aaron Rodgers. So bad teams can make the playoffs. Bad teams can win.
Yeah.
Seattle is bad, but they know how to win. So they got into the playoffs.
Well, if they're getting into the playoffs, what does that say about the rest of the NFC if Seattle gets in?
That, there's not very good. Bad, there's a lot of bad
there
teams.
There is. Oh, I mean, Tennessee. When I saw Tennessee play on Sunday Night Football and they're playing in a playoff qualifying game with Indy, I was like, God, Tennessee, how did they get the 9-7 or whatever the hell it was? How are they in this game?
The Redskins were bad. The Giants were bad.
Yeah.
I mean, Seattle went 10-6, and I'm still calling them bad. The Niners, the Cardinals, the Lions, the Falcons were not that good. The Panthers struggled. The Buccaneers were bad. There's a lot of teams that are bad.
Well, I mean, I think the Bears are bad offensively. I mean, they got a great defense, but sometimes watching Chicago on offense, that could be a bad offense at times.
Let's get out to John in Franklin, 799-1250. What's up, John?
John.
Hey, guys. I'm with Bart on this one. I think you guys just hit on it right there. You know, the teams in our conference aren't that great short of, you know, there's two teams you might really worry about trying to keep up with offensively. You give me a couple of halfway decent offensive linemen brought in. You give me a playmaking tight end, a young guy, a fast guy. Can you imagine what that would do to open up this offense with the new scheme? Your offense is just about fixed with that. Get your defensive players back from injury. Add a couple of pieces, and this team is easily a 9-win team and would be competing for a wild card, and that's my expectation next year. They're not going to give him three. If he doesn't get to the playoffs in 2 years, this isn't back when Holmgren was coaching. You got to turn stuff around. There's no patience anymore.
Well, there's a difference, though, in that second year. If he has a winning season and misses out in the playoffs, so he goes 9-7, or 10-6 and misses the playoffs, I think he's coming back for the third year. I agree with Bart. If they go 6-10, if they go 6-10 in 2 years, yeah, he's not going to see that third year.
I just don't think there's going to be that much patience, guys. I really don't. And I don't think there should be. I don't think we have to worry about missing in the draft. There's pressure on all these guys. We can't miss in the draft. You know, we have to start doing some things right to restore Green Bay to where we all feel they should be, and that's what's going to drive the pressure on everybody, because we all think this team belongs competing for the division or having the division. You're not going to get no through 2.5 years. No way, man. Don't see it.
John, do you have a Venmo account?
Yes.
See, John, Chuck was trying to buy Marquette tickets from a student, and he doesn't have a Venmo account.
Okay, but I just got a solution, though.
So I was just wondering if John did.
Here's what I got, a solution. While we were having a conversation.
We're not giving you any money, John.
I was hoping.
Thought maybe you owed him some fantasy football.
I thought I was on the payroll finally. Yes,
you're close.
Hey, you keep calling our show, man. You're gonna get your own show.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
I was going to say, we were talking about Venmo, which I never heard of before, and you were going to help me open up a Venmo account, and then Shannon, my girlfriend, texted me and just said, hey, I have a Venmo account. And I'm like, how did you get a Venmo account? So apparently she's got one. And the problem solved.
Shannon, your girlfriend, that's the one thing that puzzles me about your relationship.
How's that?
Is that Shannon's on like the cutting edge of a lot of stuff. And you are
like how?
Well, I have a Venmo account. She knows, I think, songs and movies that are current.
Yeah,
you don't seem to know any of that.
But I'm not into today's movies or today's TV shows. I'll say it. Women our age are more hip to that sort of thing than the guys are.
Like you just said the word hip.
On to things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think the women in our relationships are more onto today's culture and up with stuff than the guys are. Way
God,
more.
I watched the Golden Globes, man. I don't know who any of those people are.
No, no.
I don't never heard of none of these shows.
But I bet your wife has.
Yeah, she watches Marvelous Maisel.
It's amazing how the women know all this stuff, and they know what Venmo and the PayPal is, and I don't know.
The host of SNL every week is some other 25-year-old foreign woman that I don't know.
We'll be watching. We could have Saturday Night Live on, and I'll say, who's this? And she says, Shannon will say, well, this girl was in this movie or this movie, or she's on this TV show. I have no idea. So, yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Matt LaFleur, what does he need to do to get to a year three? And are we even maybe being a little overconfident that if they miss the playoffs this year, he'll get that year two? We'll talk to you guys more about this. 414-799-1250, Chuck and Winkler
on The Fan.
I'm going to lead. I'm going to be my own person. The way I lead is going to be different than Kyle. It's going to be different than Sean. I think the only way to lead is you better be true to yourself. These players, they're extremely smart. You better be real. You better be honest. And that's exactly how I'm going to be with these guys.
Packers new head coach Matt LaFleur. So how long will he lead for? There's going to be plenty of discussion if they don't get to the playoffs, what that means for the future of LaFleur. But I think most are willing to give him a year to figure things out, even though that would make it three straight years of the Packers not being in the playoffs. If he doesn't get by in his second year, well, then that's going to be four, and I think that's going to be too much. But then if you fire him, remember, then you got to bring in another guy, and then Aaron Rodgers is going to have three head coaches in 4 years. And
you'd have to have a new staff, too. But that's see, I think
this sucks.
No. Here's the problem, though. I mean, we've been in a great situation because the Packers have mostly been playoff contenders for 25 years. But the deal is, if things are looking up, like Mike McCarthy went 8-8 his first year in 2006. If he would have went 9-7 in 2007 and missed the playoffs, he would have been back for a third year.
Yeah, but I think things are a little different now. Because they haven't made the playoffs for two straight years, and because Aaron Rodgers is winding down here.
Well, he would have not made the playoffs three straight years because of 05, they went 4-12, 8-8, so they went 2 years. 05 and 06, they went 2 years of not making the playoffs, but at least they went 8-8 and things were looking better.
Yeah, you know? But they were also at the end of Favre's career. If he wouldn't have made the playoffs in his second year, I mean, if he got to the NFC Championship game in year two with Favre, if he doesn't get to the playoffs in year two, I don't know that he gets a third year.
Yeah, no, but going into 2007, after they had missed the playoffs in 05 and 06, no one was saying McCarthy was on the hot seat to go in 07.
But if he didn't make the playoffs in his second year, I don't know if he would have got year three is what I'm saying. I get what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. But if he didn't make it in 08, well, which he didn't because he had to go back to Rodgers or he had to start over with Rodgers.
I don't know, man.
But he didn't make the playoffs in two of his first 3 years.
799-1250. What does Matt LaFleur need to do in his first 2 years to make sure he gets that third year? Pewaukee. I'm sorry.
No, I interrupted. I just said I think, though, a lot of it goes on field, too. If things are going in a bad direction and it just looks like it and people are complaining and guys are just – if there's complacency, yeah, he's definitely not making a third year.
Mike, what's up?
Hey, Chuck and Bart. Hey, I love listening to the show. I don't always get a chance to listen because I start at 5 in the morning, but I got the day off today. I just dropped my son off at school, and I've been listening, obviously. And, hey, Chuck, you went to Martin Luther, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, because I went to Milwaukee Lutheran about 7 years ago. I won, like, the MVB or something, and I was talking to you offline, and we know a similar person that went to your school.
Okay.
But I just bring that up because we have the connection of Milwaukee Lutheran, Martin Luther, whatever. But I'm feeling left out here, Mike. What?
I'm feeling left out.
I'm sorry, Bart. I just don't know you that way.
That's all right.
So this is where we have the two different audiences. Bart has the skewer younger audiences, and I have the 40-plus here.
Yeah. So anyways, getting to the Packer thing, this all, for me, and I know that this is like beating an old drum, but for me, I'm still pissed off because I was calling for Thompson 3 years ago to get ousted. He should have been gone 3 years ago for sure. And then even last year, I thought McCarthy and Thompson should have gone at the same time. Clean house started all over, but, you know, that's in the past. We can't change that. We've lost so much time, you know, with losing players that we could have had. We could have already been back to a Super Bowl. But the question you guys have, I'm kind of with everybody else, man. I don't think their team is not very good. And even Aaron Rodgers right now is, you know, kind of regressing just a little bit. I don't know if it has to do with the injury to the shoulder and you know, just the angst between him and McCarthy. But yeah, with LaFleur, I'm kind of with everybody else. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. They just don't have a good team. And are they really going to be players in free agency and get a player or two on that offensive line, maybe get a defensive end because that's what they need. I don't care what anybody says. They need pressure on the quarterback. Their defensive backfield is never going to compete until they get somebody up front. So, and if they don't, I think possibly the next year, but I have no idea. I would like to think so. But time, obviously, we've been saying this for the past 4 years now. Time is running short. Man, you don't have time anymore. They have to be players in free agency. Obviously, you don't just pick up guys. You know, you got to get a guy who's qualified, who can do some things, who can help you. But, man, I sure hope they can, because it would be a travesty if Aaron Rodgers doesn't even appear in another Super Bowl. That would just suck.
Could happen. Bart, it could be possible that he never sees another Super Bowl, at least with the Green Bay Packers. But it's just going to be – I think this draft is so important, and free agency is going to be important, over as it always is, over the next couple of years to determine what LaFleur is going to have to work with here.
That guy remembers a call he had with you 7 years ago.
Yeah. Ooh. 7 years ago.
What the hell was I doing 7 years ago?
I was here. I've been here since, 2008 or so?
Well, yeah, that guy, yeah. He remembers. Let's go out to D in Colorado. D, what's up, buddy?
Hi, D.
Hey, man, what's good with y'all?
How you been?
Oh, think, D.
Man, I've been pretty good, though, actually. Don't tell my job, though. I decided to today. I'll just so I can call in and talk to y'all.
Now we're talking. But,
jeez. Get off the ski hills out there in Colorado, D, and join us once in a while.
Hey, actually, dude, I do go up to Telluride a lot, and I've been hitting the snow swells. Man, it's something new. You know what I mean? I know it's out of my comfort zone, but I feel like bumping. I might as well try it. But anyway, back up to this Packer coach thing. I don't think LaFleur is going to get fired unless it's a Ray Rose situation. And if you go back to Ray Rose, a lot of people thought Ray Rose got fired for what happened on the field. Ray Rose got fired because Packer players was coming down to Milwaukee getting robbed. Cleus Hutt got robbed and Mr. Perkins. The team was doing all type of wild stuff. That's what led to Mike McCarthy. It wasn't the play on the field. It was the things off the field. Because I think Mark Murphy, is putting his neck out here. It's like all the media is complaining about how the structure is. Everybody talking about the way things is going. So I feel like he's going to go down like the Titanic with this coach. Because y'all been saying a lot of things like, well, why is he not like with Bob Harlan? Why is he not this way? And I believe Mark Murphy thinks he's so cocky because one day he's supposed to be the NFL commissioner. That's what everybody is saying.
Mark Murphy wants to be the commissioner?
That's the rumor around that he's going to replace... what's his name?
Goodell?
Everybody hates. Yeah. The rumor is he's going to replace Goodell. Snarky even said it. A couple other people said it on national radio. He's supposed to be allegedly so smart. He comes from Northwest. That's supposed to be his next step in life.
You know, he said something really interesting about Mike McCarthy. You know, his off-the-field incidents. We never talk about that. But do you think that didn't help McCarthy's situation at all either with those Geronimo Allison. Not that he got control over it, but still.
No, it didn't, because Green Bay cannot handle things like that, dude. Honestly, we sit up here and we think that Green Bay is this small bubble and all the players are supposed to be a certain way. But if you look at it in the last couple of years, you're going to mess. You just had Allison. You had the running back everybody liked. He got caught up with the earth. I mean, you done had a lot of things.
The LaTroy Guyon thing was like, if that happens with another team, it's news. But here in Green Bay, it's like, time stopped.
Yeah. And that's what makes the thing. That's one of the reasons why I think Mark Murphy really going to go down with the shit. Y'all know, this is the most Packer Nation, as far as like reporters have been complaining about stuff. Like, in today's face. Because normally it's been like, well, stuff that happened, even with Brett Favre, they kept a lot of his secrets. Everybody kept secrets in Green Bay. Nobody wants to talk about nothing. But everybody been coming at Mark Murphy. Everybody been talking slick to him. So I feel like he's going to be like, well, look, dude, this is my coach. I picked him. And I'm going to ride with it till the wheels fall off. And if he's right, he's going to look like a genius to see wrong. Just going to set us back.
D, miss you, buddy.
Thanks, D. Good. Don't be a stranger.
Don't be a stranger.
Don't be a foreigner to the show.
I think D said ship in
yes,
there.
Yes. There was a P at the end.
Yeah. Just always got to.
Our detector says P.
Yeah.
Went back to the instant replay. Roads went back to it.
Clayton, who does transcriptions of our show live, tells us that one. Hey, more from you guys. 414-799-1250. What does Matt LaFleur need to do to get to that third year? We'll talk to Jason Cole from fansided.com about this. We'll get into the Bucs weekend, too. Eric Name to join us at 8:35. But maybe the biggest news of all is that the Big Breakfast at Perkins is coming back. Bart's Big Breakfast is coming back in a different... Yeah, I know. I'm very excited. If you don't know, I've had for the last couple of years a breakfast special at Perkins, and we've called it Bart's Big Breakfast, Bart's Bigger Breakfast, and a special is coming back. Bart's Breakfast Bonanza is coming to Perkins. Now, here's what we're going to do. Perkins is going to give us three choices on what you want the breakfast to be. Three different choices. There's going to be the choice that it's always been, the three eggs, four pancakes, the hash browns, the four bacon. That could be an option. There's also going to be an option where it's biscuits with sausage, or then an option where it's the biscuit meal with gravy and then some eggs and bacon and hash browns in both meals. So we'll have pictures of that. We'll have descriptions of that. Next Wednesday, I'm going to send out a tweet, and it's going to serve as the poll for what you want to have as the breakfast to be, and you're going to vote for the breakfast that you want to be on special. So this time, Bart's Breakfast Bonanza, you get to pick the meal, and we'll do that next week at Perkins. In the meantime, tomorrow, Kids Eat Free. That is every Saturday after 4 o'clock. Kids Eat Free. When you get a meal, they get a meal. But stay tuned. Stop your entire life, because Bart's Breakfast Bonanza is on the way.
Honestly, I'm not going to have any preconceived notions moving forward. I just want to try to develop the best relationship with Aaron, because he is a key piece to the puzzle and a key reason why we're going to get to where we want to go.
It's Matt LaFleur, the Packers' new head coach, talking about Aaron Jones, the centerpiece of this offense, right? No, it's Aaron Rodgers. Chuck and Winkler here in the Bryant-Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart, that's Chuck. What does Coach LaFleur have to do to get year three? It's a four-year deal. There's that fifth-year option. But if Matt LaFleur, let's say the Packers don't make the playoffs this next coming year, okay, I think people are going to be, maybe I'm assuming, a little understanding that's a first-year coach. But that's still, now that's going to be 3 years of no playoffs with Aaron Rodgers. If you go a fourth year of no playoffs with no Aaron Rodgers, that's too much. But then if you fire LaFleur, then you have another coach in for Aaron Rodgers. That's three coaches in 4 years. I don't know if that's good either.
Although it's not LaFleur's fault that they haven't made the playoffs the last couple of years. You almost can't count last season, 2017, with Rodgers getting hurt, because they were unprepared for that. They had a backup quarterback. They had a rookie quarterback basically out there, no experience, and he was completely lost. And so much that they dumped him on Seattle. So I would think, I think this past season, that's the one I really look at. I'm almost writing off 2017 as a season, just as a lost season.
799-1250, we're going to talk to Jason Cole, editor-in-chief at FanSided, who we've had on plenty of times. He's always some good information on this. We'll talk to him next. We'll get back to the Bucks around 835 with Eric Name. John's on the south side. What's up, John?
Hi, John.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm it's first-time call.
Well, hey, welcome to the show. It feels like the
first time. John, don't be a foreigner to the show. You kind of remind me of Lou Gramm once in a while.
Wow.
Go ahead.
High praise.
Yeah, what I want to say is that, to me, if he doesn't have a winning season, now he may not make the playoffs, depends what the other teams in division do, but if he doesn't win at least 9 games, he needs to go. And I base that on Ray Rhodes with Brett Favre. We were so accustomed to winning. That's why I think they got rid of him, is because the outrage would have been from the fans, and I think Brett had something to do with it too. I don't know about that. But he can't do it on his own. What he needs to do is get some free agents in here. If we look at the Packers, the Brett Favre, Reggie White, Gilbert Brown, Santana Dotson, Sean Jones, we may even going back to the Lombardi years, they may have had the best front four the Green Bay Packers have ever had, and they didn't draft them, did they? And that's what they need to do. They need to go get some players. Aaron Rodgers, no Brett Favre, he can't do it on his own.
Hey, don't be a foreigner, John.
Yeah.
Good call.
Brett Favre couldn't do it on his own either. As we found out in 2005 when he went 4-12. I mean, think back. Now you're talking about missing the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers. How do you go 4-12 with Brett Favre? Hall of Fame quarterback, and you went 4-12.
Yeah, what the hell happened that year?
4-12, man. You name it.
He played every game.
Yeah, he got hurt. He missed, I want to say, the second half of the New England game. Aaron got in there.
They started 0-4. I'll pull it up. The 2005 season, they went 4-12 with Favre.
Yeah.
They lost to the Lions on the road by 14 in week one. Lost to the Browns by 2 at home. Oh, I remember that game. Who's the tight end? The tight end was from Wisconsin.
With who? The Browns?
Yeah.
Was it Winslow their tight end?
No. Winslow might have been there. Steve Heiden?
Boy, I don't remember.
Well, he's from Rushford, Minnesota. That's why I know him, because I worked in lacrosse at the time, and we covered that guy like he was the Pope.
Okay.
They lost to the Buccaneers by a point. They lost to the Panthers by 3. They lost to the Vikings on the road by 3. They lost to the Bengals by a score. They lost to the Vikings by 3. They lost to the Eagles by 5.
But didn't they start off 0-4 and 0-5, and then he waxed New Orleans like 52-3?
Yep. To go 1-4.
And when they won that game, I was doing the post-game show with Don Mikowski at the time. We thought, okay, now they're going to turn it around.
They also later that year got waxed by the Ravens on Monday night, 48-3. Oh,
that was the low point, Bart.
Yeah.
That was the game where it was like, geez, Mike Sherman ain't coming back next year.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. We'll talk to Jason Cole, who covers the NFL for FanSided. Coming up next, Eric Name, 8:35. We'll talk Bucks weekend, where they really should have no problem. Big test for them in that regard. It's Chuck and Winkler and your chance at $1,000 next.